Let's start the racing rewind. After it's all done and dusted, the Correct Weight Racing Review. Here's Warren Huntley, Dean Lester and Brendan Delaney.
Time to look back on racing around Australia with a focus on Moonee Valley yesterday. And Dean Lester, it was off-season racing at Moonee Valley, but very competitive racing nonetheless. What was your overall take on the meeting?
Yeah, we had a lot of restricted races, Warren. Good morning to you. But always interested in those the three-year-old races early in the day. They were competitive. And, Brooklyn Hustle provided a real highlight winning a restricted race. But we know that she's a lot better than that. And that was a good way to start her campaign.
How did you see the meeting yesterday, Brendan Delaney? And good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Warren. Good morning, Dean. Good morning to all the listeners. Entertaining day's racing. Brooklyn Hustle, as Dino said, the highlight of the day. How was she going to come back? And she came back in blistering fashion. Could have gone pear-shaped, and a couple of horses had the same runs as her that didn't really pan out. But her acceleration from the 100-metre mark, that was really something that we've been wanting to see from her again, that we've seen from her on her debut.
And worth recognising, Dino, first Metropolitan meeting of the new season, Jockey Celebration Race Day, honouring a number of fallen riders. Also great to see a valet, Rob Gaylard, race at Moonee Valley yesterday. But in particular, Jockey Celebration Day, and I know a number of the riders that were honoured you had many dealings with during their careers, and it's something that we should never forget, and the Jockeys Trust does such a terrific job in supporting the families of those riders.
It was very well depicted through the day on racing.com as well. Congratulations to them, and especially a terrific interview with young Corey, who, of course, was his father before he was even born, Mark, and I managed that for some time, so that he was the one that I had the close association with. But Mitch was fantastic on .com yesterday, and he's up and about riding jump outs and not far off riding in races himself.
Highlight of racing at Moonee Valley yesterday. Cobbly came in race four. You had to hold your breath to see if Dwayne Dunn got through on Brooklyn Hustle. He did.
Highballing at the 400 metres, led by about a length and a half. Two in second place, the mare, Phil the Flute, Propel up on the inside. Then came Fight. Brooklyn Hustle needs a lot of luck from here. It's a good yarn into the straight at the 200, followed by Propel. Brooklyn Hustle runs up behind them, is trying to get through, and she does get through. She's barged through, taken the lead. How impressive's that? From last to first, Brooklyn Hustle won easily by 3 lengths. Propel, a good yarn. What a win. Fight was fourth, then the mare, Phil the Flute.
We'll get to the other races later, but you mentioned that not all the horses looking for a similar run to Brooklyn Hustle were able to get it, but she was able to get that run, and importantly, she was able to capitalise it when that little gap appeared, and pretty soon after she poked her head into that gap, the race was all over.
It was, Warren. She was terrific. I was giving myself a pat on the back on the turn. I thought the Propeller got through and Brooklyn Hustle mightn't get through, but she had that ability to just quicken where there was only a narrow gap. Dwayne Dunn just backed himself in and backed the horse in that he'd be able to get through, and she certainly did. And very reminiscent of her debut win at Moonee Valley, in that she showed that amazing turn of foot off the bend. And, I think she's effective on all tracks, but I think that slingshotting off the bend at the valley really suits her.
We talking to Jason Warren earlier, and I think maybe in a couple of gallops, not the jump out that we saw, but he really had the indication that she was ready to go. The jump out was really soft going into yesterday that we're able to see, but I suppose, Dean, what we do know is that she's much better than benchmark 78 grade, and she proved that yesterday.
Yeah, and there was a stepping stone going forward, and her performance, in standardised times was very reminiscent of her debut win at Moonee Valley, just about a half length above standard, but that quickening through the gaps when she needed it, and it was terrific to see. And I'd love to see her go to the car line and maybe a pass through the valley races, whether she even gets to a race like the Moya or something, but it was a good starting point anyway.
The acceleration that you referenced late in the race, have we got a handle on, say in particular her last 200 metres when she got clear compared to some of the others during the day?
Yeah, well, it was building of a building speed as much as anything, Warren, because she was the best 800, 600, 400 of the day, second best last 200, which is probably a little bit of a surprise when you think of how how, you know, she burst through, but, you know, she did all of her momentum, you know, around the bend and then got through and was probably clocking off a little bit late. The Cruiser was the only one that ran a better last 200 on the day back in race two, so it was a good effort from him, but, yeah, she was terrific.
Coming to the turn, the luck came her way. Probably helps when you've got horses that can scoot along a bit at the head of Good Yarn. He can really give a good kick at the back end of a short race like that. But poor old Propel, she's been doing the hard yards through the winter months, and it was just about her day there, the run she got through. But Brooklyn Hustle went straight past her, and her acceleration was outstanding once she got out. She had the runs on the board. She probably had to win that race, didn't she, if you go back through her form from but last preparation, beaten less than five lengths in a Coolmore, only a length off in a Blue Sapphire and the like, not all that far away in her two-year-old year of a Blue Diamond, so she had competed at a high enough level to say that she should win the race, and it was good to see her back with the acceleration. Propel, stiff fight was okay. I knew she was mine going to be forgiving there, was never really on the track. But nice to see Brooklyn Hustle back with that turn of foot we know she's got that we haven't seen all that too often.
She might just be a high-quality horse, full stop, Brendan, but I suppose the affinity that she's shown and being able to slingshot, as Dino referenced, off the bend at Moonee Valley, how influential that is in her future programming, because if there's a short course races at Moonee Valley for her, then it's probably going to give that little bit of weight in terms of where they place her.
That's where we've seen her best two performances, really, haven't we? And we've really seen that acceleration. Maybe the shorter straight of Moonee Valley just aids her a little bit, where she's not really having to ping from a long way out. She can coil herself up and just have a really explosive last 150 metres. That might play into her hands later on down the track.
An exciting performance from Brooklyn Hustle in race four at Moonee Valley yesterday. Not unexpected by the market or her previous performances, but great to see Jason Warren and the team have got her back after having some testing issues to get her back to the track, and hopefully they can reap some rewards deeper into this preparation in some better races. That was race four at Moonee Valley. Race one was over 1,600 metres, and Ben Malham picked up the ride on El Galale for Kieran Maher and Dave Eustace.
500 to go. It's Vacillator ahead in front of Victoria Star, who kicks up and has the advantage of the rails. El Galale about to make a line of three. No effort out wider than Admire Winner and Prince Ziggy, only 2.5 first to last at the 350. El Galale moves up to Victoria. Victoria Star, who's been well and truly softened up, and El Galale went for home. Then no effort, and behind them Prince Ziggy. El Galale wants to lug in, but at the 100 metres, led by a length and a half to no effort, Prince Ziggy, and El Galale loves the valley and scored in the first. Prince Ziggy second, no effort third from Admire Winner.
Well, it was a bit of an example of horses for courses, or horses that have a definite affinity for the valley right throughout the meeting yesterday, Dino, and we've got an SMS from Kingy that I'll get to later regarding that. But El Galale in the first certainly does seem to like going around the valley circuit.
Yeah, he does, that's for sure, Warren. And I just thought it might have been next run at 2,040 metres, but Ben Mellum's ride here was outstanding, because he just fired up Victoria Star and Vacillator enough, and he was on a horse that he knew could run 2,000 metres, so he could spend a little bit early, got his spot, but he made them work to get their spot. And from there, it was a pretty straightforward assignment. El Galale, he just tracked up like the winner all the way, and was in the right spot. Victoria Star had been softened up by Ben Vacillator. That's just not his go. He's just got to be covered up and try to relax, and couldn't think he's going well. We know 2,000 metres is his best trip, and no effort ran a better race yesterday, more in keeping with what she did last spring. But, yeah, El Galale, just all honest to Ben Malham there. I thought it was a perfect ride.
And Stewart's report outlines as much, speaking with Craig Newitt, the rider of Victoria Star, who was easing after opening very much in the red as favourite, got out to very backable odds. Craig Newitt just outlining that he was instructed to be positive as such, but then he found himself having to do that work that probably Ben Malham was forcing him to do to get to that forward spot. And Craig Newitt's explanation, given the circumstances of the early stages of the race, was accepted by the stewards, and a veterinary examination post-race didn't reveal any abnormality with Victoria Star, Brendan, but obviously the way the race shaped up and maybe just the overall talent and the affinity for the valley really worked in El Galale's favour.
Most definitely, and just a masterclass from Ben Malham there, a horse that, you know, probably they were tossing up earlier on in the week. Do they run in the 2,000 metre race or do they run in the mile? And I think just that the miles that he had in his legs to go to 2,000 metres really helped him yesterday just do that little bit of work as Dean outlined. He was able to push Vasileta forward. We've seen his best races that are back off the speed. So when he rolled forward and really put it to Victoria's Star, Mellon just had the sweet spot there. Prince Ziggy did a good job. He's much better up on the speed. Probably didn't come out of the gates as cleanly as Ollie would have liked, but also probably just aided him a little bit not getting caught in that battle with Vasileta and Victoria's Star up on the speed. But Al Galeo was there. Mellon had them exactly where he wanted them, and he just rode the race accordingly. He was getting ready for a win. As Dean said, most thought it would have been at 2,000, but just trekking towards 2,000 metres helped him yesterday with a solid effort at a mile.
And I suppose, Dino, if we're trying to look into the future, the fact that he was able to win at 1,600 metres from a handicap rating point of view, he'll go up. But in terms of how he's travelling and suited at a run at 2,000 metres, there's no reason to think that he still won't be hard to beat when he gets to that race in the future over 2,000.
Yeah, that's right, Warren. And I think that next Valley race at 2,000 in 3 weeks might be a quality handicap from memory, so he won't be excessively weighted anyway. So now he's kicking over well, Al Galeo. He showed that at Flemington when the blinkers were put back on last time, and he got the money yesterday.
All honours to Ben Mallum and Al Galeo in the first at Moonee Valley yesterday. The 2-year-old race, or the 3-year-old race, was much anticipated over the 1,000 metres. The thought was there's a bear in there, it'd give them something to catch.
350 metres to go. There's a bear in there. Quicken now from Hard Landing. Diesel and Dust. Jabali Ridge runs on. Further back the Cruiser. Hard Landing moves up too. There's a bear in there. At the 150, Hard Landing takes. There's a bear in there. Then Diesel and Dust. And down the outside, the Cruiser. But Hard Landing going well. Driven out, and Hard Landing beat Diesel and Dust. The Cruiser third. There's a bear in there. Maybe just...
Post-race veterinary examination for There's a Bear in There. Dino revealed him to be lame in the near foreleg. Requires a veterinary clearance prior to racing again. How did this race shape up?
I think it probably shaped up as anticipated. There's a bear in there leading, and Hard Landing was able to get right onto his wheel there and just tipped second. And when the pressure went up, he was right there to pounce. So it was a good tactic from Thomas Stockdale. Probably knew how the race was going to work out for him, and the horse was able to get the job done. I mentioned earlier the closing effort of the debutant, the Cruiser. Just kept working through his gears. Fourth best, 600 of meeting, 400 best, 200. So really good, encouraging debut off a fairly low tempo, it must be said. And the thing about the bear in there, he led, and he went very steady through the middle stages. Whereas when he won, I'm just getting his figures up from when he won at Morville Park, he backed it off a little bit, but not excessively in both of these things. But he really backed it off in the middle stages yesterday. He might have been better to take his chances and go a bit harder and try and break them. But Hard Landing, a little bit of class on his side. And with Ben Hayes stated, he come back from a bout of pneumonia, which is often very hard for horses to come back from. And he did a good job to win yesterday.
What did you make of the performance of Diesel and Dust? Had that favourable draw, I suppose, to follow the leading couple, but seemed to measure up to slightly stronger company than his victory last start.
Yeah, he did well, and the thing is that he's got plenty of pace of fitness underneath him, so you just wonder how much he'll improve into the preparation for some of these just kicking off are going to improve. And didn't mind the debut effort of a horse called Keep On Fighting either. He hit the line quite nicely, and would think that there's a race for him in the not too distant future. Maybe Jabali Ridge was wide, but we've seen that maybe he's just plateaued out and he was a good early 2-year-old, or a handy early 2-year-old, and Tanker may be fitter for the run, but jury out on him.
What was your take on the second, Brendan?
There's a bear in there. Would have liked to have seen him roll along at a little bit faster sectionals. I've got a couple of kids that are addicted to Play School, so he's a popular horse in the Delaney household. There's a bear in there. Would have liked to have seen him go a bit faster. Would have thought Moonee Valley rolling along might have suited him. He's had that post-race issue, which obviously didn't help things yesterday, but maybe he might have been able to drag them out of their comfort zone a little bit earlier. Nonetheless, he's run okay, but Hard Landing set there up outside outside him. Good run from Diesel and Dust. He was probably aided by Keep On Fighting walking out of the gates, and he was able to drop in over on the fence. He's run well. Keep On Fighting, he was really good after missing the start, and as Dino outlined, the cruiser, it was a really solid effort. Jabali Ridge just wobbled off the turn. Maybe he just hasn't come on into his three-year-old year after showing us all that early promise early on in his career. But good to see Hard Landing back. Not going to drop off. There's a bear in there, though. I think if they had their time again, they might roll a little bit faster around a Valley 1000.
We'll see if you've been paying attention when you're sitting in front of the TV and watching watching Play School. What's the next line of there's a bear in there, Brendan?
And a chair as well.
Well done. You passed the cognitive test. You get extra points there. Hard Landing taking out race two on the card. And there's a bear in there leading, but getting run over late. We just spoke to Paddy Payne about the win of Miss Divine M in the third at Moonee Valley. This is how it all unfolded.
Coming up towards the turn at the 400 metres. Peggy Celine under a hold by three quarters of a length. Miss Divine M, Miss Bassetti three wide. Esther LaRocca behind those from Sunflare. Clean Machine needs an out. CRS the inside from Wide Awake. Peggy Celine into the straight at the 200 metres. Attempts to kick from Miss Divine M. And Esther LaRocca needs a run badly. Miss Bassetti runs on Peggy Celine. Oh, they're coming from left, right and centre now. Getting through Miss Divine M with Wide Awake out wide. Miss Divine M just from Wide Awake. And in third, Miss Bazzetti, I'd say, followed.
Well, less than three quarters of a length between the first six over the line, Brendan. So suffice to say it was a bunch finish, and perhaps luck in running played a part. How did you see this race?
Yeah, big part in running, especially if you're on Esther LaRocca, who was tracking up in behind and never got out. It's going to be interesting to see what we take out of this race with so many horses finishing in that line across the track. Peggy Celine led. She just bottomed out probably the last 50 or 60 metres. Miss Divine M sat on her outside and looked like she gave her to the eye anyway. It looked like she gave a real surge at about the 70 or 80 metre mark that was able just to propel her into the lead, and she was able to hold them off. She was really good. Miss Bassetti covered ground up on the speed. She stuck it out really well. Esther LaRocca just never got a crack at them. One horse Wide Awake was the only one to really make ground from back in the field. Was back there with Geist and A Beautiful Night. They weren't able to capitalise. Maybe Wide Awake just got around the turn a little bit better, just cutting over the heels of those horses in front. Clean Machine had a good running behind and was still coming to the line, but Miss Divine M just had her head out in the right time. You're on that race from the top of the straight three or four more times over. Give Esther LaRocca a little bit more room and you probably get five or six different winners.
Stewart's report has Esther LaRocca, as Brendan's outlined, Dino and Cirrus as horses who didn't get momentum when they needed it in the home straight. What was your take on this race?
Yeah, especially Cirrus. I know Esther LaRocca didn't get a lot of room either, and she was obviously wanting to build momentum, but you can take this race back to the start. I think this race changed with Clean Machine missing the start, and that was costly to her, but it allowed Miss Divine then to get into a good spot. I thought Miss Bazzetti was very brave, covering ground the whole way and toughed it out to the line, but the overall time wasn't that bad, really, for in comparison to the male. So, but I thought the run of CRS, in Esther LaRocca was screwed down late, no luck, but I thought CRS ran very well coming off that debut win.
Paddy Payne's very conservative in assessing his horses, and I don't think he's setting too loftier goals for Miss Divine M, but the attribute of just being able to have her head down at the right time, which he's been able to do on three occasions recently, Dean's a good attribute for a horse to have.
It is, Warren, and of course she beat older horses last start at Matoa, though, you know, moderate horses, but she beat older horses that had a lot of experience on her, so that was a good effort, and she translated that yesterday to a good performance. A filly I've got a bit of time for in that race is Sunflare. I just think she's looking for further now. She was a little bit one pace of the 1,000 around the valley, but she still wasn't far away at the finish.
Note from the stewards report regarding Peggy Celine. Ben Mallon reported his mount was stirred up pre-race, race flat, and may have come to the end of the preparation, and a post-race veterinary examination revealing a delayed recovery. So, Dino, perhaps a forgive for Peggy Celine. Obviously, the Parlophone form looked strong going into the race yesterday, but perhaps enough for now for Peggy Celine with that note from the stewards report and her performance yesterday.
Yeah, she's had the 6 weeks between runs, maybe to freshen her up, but maybe she's just getting to the back end of it. But, she had knees enough run in front that she could have kicked on for a little bit longer.
Brooklyn Hustle took out the fourth in devastating fashion following that victory of Miss Divine M in race three. The fifth race on the card, Sovereign Award and West Wind were fighting out favouritism.
500 to go. It's Sovereign Award given her head, led by three quarters of a length to Brim, and then came on the outside Maxi Mag, who is starting to get closer to the leader. Soaring Eagle on the inside, niggled out from Arctic Shock, and then came West Wind. Sovereign Award around the turn at the 200 metres. Oliver pulls the stick, led a length and a quarter. Maxi Mag and Soaring Eagle the fence, then West Wind, Arctic Shock. Sovereign Award 100 metres to go, led by over a length to Arctic Shock and West Wind, and Sovereign Award won it. West Wind second, Arctic Shock third, photo fourth.
Oh, she's still not absolutely push-button, is she, Dino? But she must have some talent. She was able to ride the speed and still win yesterday. The Stewards Report has her racing keenly throughout. What did you make of her win?
Yeah, it was a good win. She doesn't help herself. She doesn't really relax, and she's got that high head carriage. But it's effective at the moment. I think if she goes to a higher grade, she's going to have to get it more right than that. But she did quite a good job to win yesterday. I think West Wind ran very well, and looking at her, she's got that big loping stride, whether she'd be better on a bigger track than the Valley, but ran well. And Arctic Shock with the big weight and the wide draw, I thought she battled on quite well. Maxi Mac was a surprise, landed closer to the speed, probably a little bit upside down for her, but might be getting the end of it. And I thought Clementina ran okay off a little break. You know, she's better over a lot further, but ran quite well.
How do you see this race, Brendan?
Controlling it from the front, Soaring Eagle pinged the line, and Ollie just took his time in getting around to the lead. Soaring Eagle's always happy to let someone go on by and lead, and Ollie just controlled on Sovereign Award. She was going keenly, but Ollie was just probably more trying to run it at his tempo. For a horse that's won 5 of 11, she's still got a little bit to learn. She was flicking the ears all over the place in the last 50 metres or so when she put a couple of lengths on them. West Wind closed nicely. Arctic Shock good as well. Moscow Red probably a little bit more effective on the wetter surfaces, has run well on good tracks before, but was hitting the line nicely. And as Dino said, Clementina, I thought she was a nice return, picking off some ground late.
Mentioned that she got tightened for room at the start by Anna May, but I suppose, Brendan, Clementina at 1,600 metres was probably always going to settle back in the field to some extent, but you were pleased with the way she finished off as well as Dino?
Yeah, her work through the line was really nice. Her last 100 or so running up behind West Wind and Arctic Shock. She hit her straps when she got out towards the 2000 and beyond there at the end of last preparation. She hasn't had that long out, so there's going to be plenty of residual fitness there from those runs over the trips through the autumn and the early part of the winter, but she's come back in nice style.
Restricted racing benchmark 78 here, and as Dino outlined earlier on, that was the theme of the day and basically the type of meeting that we were dealing with. But for you, Brendan, if you were going to pick a couple of horses out of this race that are perhaps still on the up and could be well placed in the weeks ahead, who would they be?
Clementina might take more than a couple of weeks. West Wind, you would think, would be just about ready next time. As Dino outlined, she might appreciate a bigger track. Arctic Shock has been racing consistently for some months, if she can hold her form. And Sovereign Award has to iron out those couple of little issues now that she's probably going to have to take the step up in grade. But Clementina, she's a bit of a tease. She doesn't get it right all the time, so you might end up chasing your tail a little bit with her. But Moscow Red's racing consistently back on a wet track. Moscow Red might be the one to fire next time.
Dino, for you to take a couple of horses out of this race, you've referenced a couple that you thought ran well, just reinforcing a couple that might be punting prospects in the weeks ahead.
Oh, I think as the races get stronger now this time of year, these horses might end up back at midweek grade. But West Wind, I like the way she's trending. She did a lot wrong, obviously, at Sale. She raced well yesterday, and we've spoken to Clementine. But West Wind for me.
Quaddy kicks off in race six, couple via the SMS, Dino. We'll start with one from Kingy at Warren, I need some therapy. You're not the only one. I can't explain why my number one Valley rule, always include horses with Valley form, regardless of their price, was not adhered to in the third leg of the Quaddy. Consequently, Kingy left out Elsman, and a costly mistake for $26 could have turned into $4,000. He said he spent the night rocking and rolling, but he's ready to bat up again today, Dino. And it can be very much a horses for courses track, the Valley, can't it?
It can be, yeah, absolutely. And there are a few there with that sort of valley profile yesterday, and Elsdon bounced back yesterday, as we'll speak about later. But yeah, it's a good, well, it's not a bad starting point, especially you know, if you've got a horse that can handle a valley, and especially I think riders that ride the track really well too. That's the other thing I really gravitate to.
How did you see the track playing yesterday?
Well, the track played really well in that I think we knew what we were going to get going into it. The inside 5 metres was fresh ground. It didn't look as though it gave out at all. The fields weren't overly big until the last couple of races. So, no, I think all considered, you know, the valley raced well.
How did you see the track playing, Brendan?
He thought the track raced really well, as Dino outlined. Fresh ground to the inside, had a couple of meetings there on deteriorating tracks, which helped the horses back down towards the inside, you would think. But there were horses there that were able to make ground. But as you've been seeing lately, races at the Valley have been running pretty slow up the school side of the track, so it's hard for those horses back in the field to really make ground anyway, unless they're getting nice runs through the pack. But there was a few of them there that still made ground, and those up on the pace were really competitive, and probably that's all you can ask for.
The quaddie kicked off, and the South Australian connection was there with Lockie Neindorf picking up the ride for Richard and Chantel Jolly aboard Dexalation.
Rewilla got going and moves up around them four deep and takes the lead. So they chop and change at the 400. Santa Catarina went for the doctor. A length and a half, Condos Express, Rolling Moss, Sir Callahad, Scottish Rogue. Wilmot passes last and held up. Dexalation working into it. Santa Catarina in the straight at the 150. Led a length and a quarter, Titan Blinders, Dexalation and Scottish Rogue right down the outside. They've got to Santa Catalina. It's Dexalation in the middle taking the lead from Titan Blinders. Dexalation just beat Titan Blinders, Scottish Rogue. Photo fourth, Santa Catarina and Wilmot Park.
Well, highlighting the fact, I think, that you were talking about earlier, Brendan, that you're near the inside at Moonee Valley. You either need to be going well enough or you need some luck. And Brooklyn Hustle was able to get through. Wilmot Pass was arguably the unlucky runner to my eye here.
Yeah, definitely. Just the brakes never came Wilmot Pass's way, and it just went pear-shaped when Santa Catarina made the move. Rolling Moss, Sir Callahad and Condos Express were the three in front, and they weren't going overly hard, and Campbell Rewilla was having a really tough time out the back with Santa Catarina, and with the tempo on, he wasn't going to get into the race anyway, so he just let her run, and she set the race up nicely for the three horses that were towards the back of the field with her to have clear air and build into the race. Condos Express, Sir Callahad, Rolling Moss were all under pressure on the turn, and poor old Wilmot Pass was jammed up in behind them, and Titan Blinders, Dexalation, Scottish Rogue were able to just slingshot around the outside and make the race their own. Dexalation just having maybe that little bit of race fitness on his side at the back end. Titan Blinders, fresh up from a break, has run really well. Scottish Rogue continues to race well, hit the line nicely, but Dexalation was one of that trio that got his nose down at the right time. Santa Catarina battled well. Wilmot Pass, well, he gets the run. He probably wins. The run doesn't come his way with that mid-race move, and it's a head in the hand, sort of watch through the fingers the last 100 metres or so. But well done to Dexalation, and the race just panned out nicely for those first three across the line to be able to work into the race with clear air.
Johnny Allen was suspended in this race, Dean. Careless riding near the 400-metre mark when he poked in between Rolling Moss and Dexalation, where there wasn't that much room. So some slight interference there with Dexalation, which ultimately might even add a bit more merit to his winning performance. How did you see this race?
I agree with you there, Warren, and I think that shouldn't be undersold, that Dexalation did get bumped around coming to the turn and picked up and found the line. So it was a good performance. But this was a messy race, and it's just awkward when Michael Walker finds the front on one, and he did there on Condos Express, and he takes block and goes too slowly in the middle stages. And that's what, like, at least Campbell Rewilla tried to do something and get into the race and got momentum up, and ultimately probably dragged the cut, you know, horses like Scottish Rogue and that into the race. But yeah, it's messy, and you'd love to have seen, if he didn't want to lead on Condos Express, there were two leaders there that could have kicked up in Sir Callahad or Rolling Moss, but he held the inside on Condos Express and then just wants to jam the anchors on, and made for a messy race for a lot of reasons. I don't think it helped his chances either. So Dexalation with the momentum, Titan Blinders, good run, as I mentioned, had to push out, and I think ran very well first up. And yeah, Wilmot Pass, if you're back, you sort of knew what you're getting into. You just hope that a run it open a bit like Brooklyn Hustle, and it didn't come.
Yeah, I can't claim. I made Wilmot pass my best, and I can't claim absolutely poor luck, because he was inside at the Valley and you knew he was going to need luck at some stage. But I thought with perhaps Rolling Moss and Sir Callahad rolling along that Jamie Carr would just be able to find a spot on Wilmot Pass and build that momentum, but not able to. And I probably joined Kingy in the fetal position for a while there yesterday. But we'll live to fight another day with Wilmot Pass. Do you know, under the circumstances, how did you assess his run being able to pick himself up late?
Yeah, I thought he ran really well, because he bombed the start. That's the other thing. He didn't help his cause there and had to just edge up inside to get to his spot. If he begins well, he may have even held Condos Express off the rail, which then would have forced him to actually go a bit faster. So, the whole race changed a little bit in the first 100 metres. So Wilmot Pass's performance was fine. The result wasn't there for the punters, but as a performance, he ran well.
Phil from Dubbo's a regular contributor via the SMS. Thanks again for your regular contributions, Phil. And, gee, I don't know what we're going to do with Gareth Hall's administrative skills here, Dino, but reading from the SMS, good morning, Warren, Dean and Brendan. This time it was Quinny who was the victim of Gareth Hall's illogical batting changes. Last week, Quinny made a profit by using half his $100 on the Viridine mystery shot all up, so he should have had another go yesterday. Gator used the $100 in optimistic fashion, but his all-ups went down despite Sovereign Award, his best bet, winning. Regards, Phil from Dubbo. I think we're going to have to get some type of auditing involved in that bet type, Dino. It's costing us dearly at this stage.
Look, I think if Phil could actually SMS in on Saturday morning to Gareth, just to remind him, because he's obviously battling with this scenario that most of the punters are winning and not getting a second go at it. So, no, Phil, if you could remind Gareth Saturday morning, although I think we might even put him on the bench for a week, Gareth, with that sort of performance.
Well, there's a story that not everybody knows, Dino, but in Perth Radio, inadvertently at one stage, Gareth gave out your private phone number to people in terms of being able to secure tips rather than your tip hotline. So maybe we just forward Gareth's number to Phil and he can just have a private conversation with Gareth and work out the arrangements.
Yeah, I like the way you're thinking, Warren. That I've been thinking of how I can avenge that situation for about 2.5 years, and you've just come up with it.
Another one from Phil from Dubbo. Thanks again for your work, Phil. Is there any way we can get Jungle Edge to Rose Hill next week? Rain is forecast. The Missile Stakes, the feature race. Gee, I don't know if Mick Bell and the Connections have got any influence there, Dino. I think Jungle Edge is probably a little bit stranded at this stage.
I think he probably is, yeah. Not ideal that the horse has followed the weather, can't follow the weather at the moment. So that's a bit of a shame. See, there's a bit of rain predicted this week in Melbourne. Whether he's nominated for the Orange Star, I'm not sure, but there is at least a little bit of rain predicted at Flemington.
Dexalation taking out the first leg of the quaddy. Might just give you another dial on that line, Dino. Just seems to be breaking up a little bit at times. We'll just have a listen to the second leg of the quaddy shortly. Might just get Dino back on a slightly better line. Seems to be dropping out a little bit. We were heading into the races yesterday with the quality handicap over 2,040 metres at the Valley. Mahamadeus was on a 7-day backup, and he was the highest rated horse racing at the meeting going into the program.
Mossendale joined by Tabby Run approaching the turn at the 400 metres. Four lengths to Polly Gray, who's full bore chasing from Mahamadeus, Savahid and Bedford. Tabby Run went for home around the turn. 200 metres to go, claims Mossendale, who's really made this a chase. Polly Gray got to second from Mahamadeus. Tabby Run in the straight. 100 metres to go. Getting weary now. Polly Gray and Mahamadeus coming at it. Polly Gray grabbed by Mahamadeus, and Mahamadeus won it again. Beat Polly Gray, Tabby Run, Sir Pippin, then Savahid.
Well, Brendan, for those that were in the fetal position after Wilmot Pass in race six, some of us were also on Polly Gray in the next. Can you provide some counselling?
Not really, because I was on Polly Gray as well, so I thought we're in the right spot all the way, but Mahamadeus He's just in red hot form, and he deserved to be the highest rating horse of the day, dropping back from the 2,394 metres of last week to the 2,000 metres. Maybe a little bit vulnerable, but he's just in such good form, and the way the race set up from about the 700 where Mossendale really ramped it up, played into his hands. He was able to go deep into the stamina reserves late to really charge through the line. Tavirun wasn't going to let Mossendale get away with it after he ramped it up, and he went off chasing and just got the wobbles up on the turn after getting into that battle coming to the bend, and just ran out of steam late. And Polly Gray was the one that you thought, having that lovely run third, that was just going to be able to pop off the back and go on and do the job. But I just think she didn't help herself when she ducked in at the 150. Maybe showing some signs she was getting a little bit tired on the chase there. She'd been at it for a while. But Mahamad Dias was able to charge over the top. A race that they went steady early and then sprinted those horses back in the field. Sir Pippin, Bedford, a couple of those just unable to really get into the race and be effective. They were a long way off the lure when they were coming to the turn, but well done to Mahamad Dias, and another hard luck story with Polly Gray.
Stewards report, Dino, has them talking to Jack Martin regarding the ride on Mossendale. How did you see this race unfold?
Yeah, well, they didn't go a breakneck speed, but it was that change-up speed, Warren, from the 800 to the 600, or the previous section. Mossendale went 1268 and then went 1148, so really put the hammer down and then dragged it out with a few of these. I think with Mohamed Ayes off that soft run last week, and then it becoming a bit of a race of attrition because they made a long sprint, he was well served. Polly Gray, as Brendan says, she didn't help herself by ducking in at a crucial stage, but she didn't help herself for the first 1,200 in that she just wouldn't relax and just spit the bit out, and she was always just working against herself, and that's all you need to dull your finish a little bit. So I still think her run was very good, and I think if she could have got covered up early or when she strode around and relaxed, she'd have probably gone close to winning. Tavirun's going great. Sir Pippin's building up. He's going to win one of these soon enough, and they after that they came in at fair intervals. But he's a terrific horse, Mohamed Dias. Good training by Nick Ryan, and I think we're seeing a real evolution of Nick Ryan's training. He's been at it for a little while now, and he's just really honing his skills and doing these little things like dropping back in distance off a weak backup, like he did in the Winter Championship final with Ciccone. Did it again yesterday with Mohamed Ayes.
Express Pass winning first up. I thought that was a point that I was going to raise, Dino, and I'm glad you have prior to me mentioning it. And even horses with bar plates on, I know that a lot of that can be farrier related, but he just seems to be able to pick the mark with horses that perhaps need the right gear changes, regardless of, you know, perhaps a bit of a stigma associated with bar plates, and seems to be able to horses that get to be able to get them to run well with that gear added.
Yeah, exactly. And I think with Express Pass, I think probably younger trainers, when they go to Bendigo first up, I think must win this race and have the horse more screwed down. That horse won with a heap of improvement in him on Wednesday, so that's good training, because that's not your grand final if you've got Express Pass. He's a Group 2 place getter running in a 78 at Bendigo. You want him to just win and build from that. So, I think Nick's training really well.
Yeah, one of a number of examples in recent times of Nick Ryan really hitting the mark as a trainer. Mohamed Dias backing up and winning back to the 2,040 metres, race 7 at the Valley yesterday. Elsman was putting King out of the quaddy in race 8.
Surreal Image and Elsvin go for home, approaching the turn at the 300. Elsvin gets its bib in front. They were followed by Do You Reckon, winning partner, chasing hard from Tatanka. It's Elsvin in the straight at the 150 from Surreal Image, winning partner. Still Elsvin, 100 metres to go. Letter length, winning partners coming with some big strides, but Elsvin's holding on, driven out just one. Elsvin from winning partner, Surreal Image, Secoot 4. Then came 5 Kingdom, Do You Reckon, Skeln from Tatanka.
Oh, he's a horse that has been around the valley well before. Dino, how did this race pan out?
Yeah, he won at the last night meeting of the season over 1,200 when he was fresh, and been in the wilderness for a little while, but an encouraging run last start and yesterday off a very, very gentle speed. They went the first 700 about 9 lengths below standard, and that was a real surprise, because Surreal Image, who ultimately led, but raced very keenly in leading. He usually leads at a plus figure, like he leads above average, and he has done at I'm just counting him now, 8 of his last 9 runs. He's been a plus figure, yet he led it 9 lengths below standard yesterday. So he led very gently, and Elvin was able to lay up outside, and they really controlled that race tempo-wise. Winning Partner got through, ran well. Sukut would have preferred that stronger gallop, which I was anticipating with Winning Partner in the race, ran quite well. And I think probably your selection, Warren, the same. Stelm, off a good gallop, would have been a better finishing effort. It was a good finishing effort, 18th best last 200 of the meeting, but I think he'd have preferred a stronger tempo.
I think we can reference back to that race that Surreal Image came through, that there's that inquiry into the performances. There's been a number of horses, and I know we're now getting a few weeks down the track, Dino, that they've had a bit of time to get over it, but certainly there's at least an asterisk next to some horses that worked hard coming out of that race into her terms, I suppose, respect of how they've recovered going into their next start.
Yeah, that's true, but it's been a constant pattern that Winning Partner goes about that speed, and Surreal Image, I should say. He goes that speed, but yesterday they elected the lead at a very, very gentle speed. And he over-raced a little bit too, so his run was quite good.
And Brendan, I know yourself and our esteemed race caller, Matty Hill, quite often share quaddies on a Saturday, and I know he's been batting up for Elsman a little bit at the midweekers. Did his win yesterday add any value to a quaddie, to that punting group?
No, that was the end of the quaddie yesterday, Elsman. Well, I think his task would have been made a lot harder. Elsman had Surreal Image run to what he had been doing, as Dean outlined. He pulls when he goes fast, and he pulls double when he goes slow. So I don't think it helped his cause, and I thought his best chance of winning yesterday was to try and run them into the ground, which he wasn't able to do. I think he's much better let stride, and I don't think Elsman probably would have been able to go with him at the back end of 2000 had they gone along at that solid clip. Winning Partner ran well, had that run through, but horses back in the field, Sukut, Tatunka to an extent, who covered ground, Five Kingdoms, Skelm, they just couldn't get into the race because they went so slow. They were running on well at the end, but they were entitled to after the slow tempo in front. All honours to Elsman, he took advantage of the situation, but I think most expected Surreal Image to go a lot faster than that, and would have been a bit of a different result, but Elsman played it as it lied and took advantage.
So does that make it a little bit difficult to dissect the form out of this race for the future, Brendan?
I would have thought so. Well, you're just going to have to be forgiving of those horses back in the field. Five Kingdoms and Sukut, Tatunka covered ground, Skelm. They would have all been thinking on race morning, we've got Surreal Image in the race. We're a chance to be able to really slingshot off the turn because they're going to roll along. So maybe they didn't do as much work as they maybe would have liked.
Melodeon was partnered by Damien Lane, picking up the ride at the last minute or early yesterday morning, with Damien Oliver taking the ride on Hypersonic, the fifth emergency that got a run in the last at the Valley.
Dayorsa is held up around the turn. Hypersonic racked off, and Proper Rogue makes a line of four around the turn. Proper Rogue goes to the front from Racked Off. Montenegro Man down the outside at the 100. Proper Rogue, Montenegro Man, and Reared down the outside. Melodeon's getting through late. Proper Rogue and Melodeon driving. Photo, Proper Rogue beat Melodeon. Montenegro Man third from Reared.
Can we go by Matty Hill's call rather than the judge's result, please, Brendan?
I would have liked to. I was on the way to the Meadows last night, and I was on Proper Rogue. I was quite happy when they hit the line. Matty put a dampener on the night. Tongue-in-cheek, of course, there to Matty. Getting the bob wrong, but Melodeon got a tremendous ride through the field, was a length or so off Proper Rogue throughout, and just picking his way through beautifully there, Damien Lane, to be able to get through. And when Proper Rogue was there, was his chance. He was in front before the line. He was in front after the line, but where it counted, he wasn't. Montenegro Man had clear air to run into it around the outside. Reared has run really well too after putting in a good performance down the straight at Flemington last time out, but Proper Rogue was there. He had his chance. He appreciated going around to being much more than he did down the straight at Flemington last time out. He's just failed, but the winner got a tremendous ride through the pack.
Campbell Wheeler suspended in this race, Dino. He rode Eagle Spirit and caused some inconvenience to Sebra Kate. What was your take on the last?
Yeah, it was a terrific ride by Damien Lane. He got through on Melodeon to get the money. I didn't know if she'd be able to win this sort of race at 1,200, but as Charlotte Littlefield outlined earlier, she's just a good little race day horse and gets the job done, and especially at the Valley. a terrific ride. The proper road ran well. Montenegro man back on the dry. I really like the way Riyadh's going. They changed him around. He was a really precocious horse at the start of his career, but the last three runs, Warwick, Nabil, Flemington and yesterday, they've ridden him quiet, and he's going to be able to at least be a city-class horse doing that, and I thought that he ran pretty well.
Hypersonic features in the stewards report, and rightfully so. As a well-supported runner, he's been beaten in excess of seven lengths. Began awkwardly, shifted in and made contact with Proper Rogue. Approaching the 800 metres, eased out across the heels of Eagle Spirit. Campbell Ruilla was riding Eagle Spirit and shifted in for that. Campbell was also reprimanded, but Damien Oliver couldn't provide any real objective discussion in terms of the performance. Maybe suited back in distance, the removal of blinkers, and nothing from a post-race veterinary performance. I suppose, Dino, he didn't get into the spot that a lot of people would have mapped.
But he's just never really comfortable, whether the fact that he won at Murray Bridge and Moorfield Parks, which is just sort of one-turn tracks, and maybe the vagaries of Mooney Valley got the better of him yesterday. But, he was very, very plain and not in keeping with what he'd shown so far. You'd have thought he'd have got into the straight before he gave ground. Even if he wasn't good enough, he was very poised today.
Any comment there, Brendan?
No, not really. He was average up on the speed, that's for sure.
Racing at Mooney Valley yesterday, highlighted by the performance of Brooklyn Hustle taking out race four on the card. There was a massive week of racing at Goodwood during the week. We'll turn our attention to that. We might even look for some highlights of the season for the guys during before 10 o'clock. And I think we'll even try and find a winner or two from Dino if he's had a look at the jumps card at Sandown today, see if there's anything he's keen on. All that to come between now and 10 o'clock before Brendan Delaney takes over with Sunday Central. Well, Dino, glorious Goodwood during the week, and you were our international expert, and Stradivarius and others, the highlights of some of the performances during the week. What did you? What's your overall take on Goodwood and the performances of horses such as Stradivarius during the week there?
Well, it's certainly a unique meeting, Warren. It's an amazing track, especially in those long distance races, and they go all over the track. But Stradivarius winning the fourth time at Goodwood was outstanding. He gave 15 pounds to a horse like Santiago, who really has a great profile if he wanted to go to a race like the Melbourne Cup. He's a very good horse in his own right, yet Stradivarius was too good for him, giving him that much weight. So he was the highlight. The sprint race, Batash, obviously running brilliant time. It's at the fast track, that 1,000 at Goodwood. But that were probably the two highlights for me, and Enbahar winning last.
And others in the arc. What's your thoughts on how that might evolve?
Oh, yeah, that's a different beast again. You still think at a mile and a half and able, but Stradivarius is having a great season, and there's probably a few fresh bloods still to come through with about 7 weeks to the arc.
Worth mentioning too, Brendan, that our good mate Carl DiOrio from Racing.com did a comprehensive preview of the week at Goodwood and did an outstanding job finding winners on all of the nights right throughout the card. How did you take in the Goodwood programs?
Didn't take in a lot. Seen a couple of the features, but that was about it for mine. Seen Stradivarius. He's a star. And, Carlos, he was really on fire. If you're wanting to follow someone's international tips, Carl DiOrio is definitely your man.
Looking ahead to Sandown today, Dino, have you cast your eye over the jumps races in particular, or is there anything on the card that takes your fancy? Brendan will be previewing the meeting in detail after 10 o'clock.
Yeah, of the jumps races, I really like Felix Bay. I think he'll win the crisp. I think he's beautifully placed to win that. And of the flat races, I think Fonda first up for the Nick Price Michael Kent Jr. stable looked very well suited in race six. She's relatively short price favourite, but I think she's the good favourite of the day on the flat.
We'll wait till after 10 o'clock to get your thoughts, Brendan. But if we're looking back on the season just concluded, is there one or two highlights that stand out to you as great memories from the season just gone?
Not sure it's going to be a great memory, but something that stands out was All-Star Mile Day with no crowd on the track. It was the last meeting I was able to go to in the box there with Matt, running for so much money, so many good horses there in the mounting yard, and you could have been forgiven for thinking we're at a set of barrier trials. It was just such a surreal experience that you just had to sort of be there to be in that little bubble that was All-Star Mile Day last season. It was something that you won't forget. Will Pike, you could hear him celebrating on the way back. Generally, you can't hear him at all, but he was hooping and hollering, and so were those that the connections that were on track as well, and that's all you could hear. It was a really, really strange experience. And, yeah, not for the right reasons, but that'll be one that'll stick with me from last season, that's for sure.
Looking back on the season just concluded, Dino, is there a couple of things that stand out to you?
Oh, I think Lee Grisheur's been in the Cox Plate. Coming off the back of the four-peat of Winx, we wanted to see something special in a different way, and we got that in spades with Lee Grisheur. Damien Lane on that wonderful run that he was having. He won the gold slip of the Corker a couple of weeks before on Murderglar, and then winning the Cox Plate was a chance of winning the Grand Slam in the Melbourne Cup, and with a bit of luck may have nearly done so. So, yeah, I think Lee Grisheur was a highlight. A local winning the Melbourne Cup in Bow and Declare. Craig Williams completing the set of majors. I think they were the highlights for me. And certainly the big races, but they had their own special meaning this year.
Yeah, I thought the big races really lived up to it. I agree with you about the Cox Plate and the Melbourne Cup. And I even think the Coolmore with that boom group of young horses and just the way they navigated their way down the straight and split into groups. I thought the Coolmore really lived up to it. And arguably one of the highlights, Dean, might have been saved for the last day of the season. A gallop between races at Geelong with my favourite Russian Camelot getting up alongside Vow and Declare. Certainly one of the highlights for me, but not from a racing point of view, but looking forward to seeing Russian Camelot this season.
I wondered how you were going to get Russian Camelot into the conversation, Warren, and there it was.
An exhibition gallop is the highlight of the year. That's very self-indulgent. Apologies for those that aren't as such bigger fans as Russian Camelot. Looking back on racing yesterday now, time to find runs of the day and horses to follow.
Let's wrap up the Correct Weight Racing Review with the run of the day and the horses to follow.
Dino, we'll start with you looking back on yesterday.
Run of the day, Brooklyn Hustle, but I just want to give an honourable mention to one interstate yesterday, Warren, that won the second race in Perth, a horse called Clairvoyant by Nostradamus, who's standing in Victoria. It was an absolutely stunning win, ran a second quicker than the older horses later in the day, and it was only a second start. It's got a future. Clairvoyant, I'll be watching it for Brooklyn Hustle locally, and the horse to follow, horse that you were tipping yesterday, Warren, I want to chime in from now on, and that's Skelm. I think as the races get longer, he'll win a nice race over spring.
And that race that you're referencing in Perth yesterday would have been a race you looked at closely. You had a share in How's the Serenity in that race, and our good mate Simon Miller training it, and the favourite in Pans Down. So I'm sure your eyes would have been glued to that race. You'd have a very good take on the performances there.
Yeah, well, we've got a fair handle on both those horses that you mentioned go quite well, and Clairvoyant absolutely blew them out of the water. I think Willie Pike's post-race report to the owners of Pans Down was that he would have needed a tow rope to get near the winner, so it's very smart.
And just recapping, horses that maybe you're thinking will run very well at Sandown today over the obstacles, Felix Bay in the crisp and on the flat Frondeur from the Price and Kent stable.
Yeah, they're the two for me, Warren.
Great work yesterday and today, Dino. Thanks for all your help. Looking forward to all your input on RSN 927 during the week.
Beauty. Thanks, Ryan. Thanks, Brendan.
Brendan Delaney, your take on racing yesterday in terms of a horse to follow and a run of the day before you take the reins and guide us through Sunday Central.
Brooklyn Hustle, hard to miss for run of the day. Switch Codes, if you haven't seen him right high, go have a look at him last night at Bendigo, 149 when he smashed the track record, 26 down the back. If you're wanting to see a fast horse have a run yesterday, he was the one, and I don't think there'll be too much. They're beating up a match race between him and Lochinvar-Art. Lochinvar-Art's going to have to find a few lengths, I think, to get near him. He is absolutely airborne. Horse to follow, I'm going to go with Titan Blinders, stretching out in trip next time, up on the speed, rolling along, maybe not next time, maybe the run after, but he'll be winning in the not too distant future, I think.
Great work so far this morning, Brendan, but your morning's not done. Looking forward to hearing you guide us through the rest of the morning on Sunday Central shortly. And I'll leave you with my run of the day, make it a clean sweep for Brooklyn Hustle. And obviously with Skelm, I was tipping him each way yesterday, so he could be a horse to follow. But, gee, I thought Polly Gray and West Wind are probably coming winners out of that meeting at Moonee Valley also. So plenty of horses to follow out of yesterday at the Valley. Brooklyn Hustle, the run of the day. That's it for Correct Weight. Stay tuned for Brendan Delaney with Sunday Central.